And at the time of Jesus, and I thought about it, you know, when you study the Bible, Brother Robert, you don't see a whole lot of demonic activity in the Old Testament. You hardly see any demonic activity in the Old Testament. But when we get to the New Testament, when God's Son steps foot on this earth, He upset the apple cart, amen. During the Old Testament, Satan was still real. We understand. We look at the book of Job. We know that Satan was real. We know that Satan tempted. We know that there were demons. But nobody was able to control them. Nobody was over until Jesus stepped foot on this earth. Jesus put Satan in his place when he got here. Amen. So demonic activity in the New Testament, and now we get to the point in our lifetime, everybody in here has heard of demons. Everybody in here, we've seen demonic activity. The voice from the altar commands to release four fallen angels that had been kept and chained in the Euphrates River. We don't know how long, we don't know why they were chained. We don't know how long they were chained, but what we do know is when they are loose, it's going to be bad. Verse 14, a place is mentioned. We're told they're bound in the river Euphrates. This river is one of the most prominent in the Word of God. It was here that God planted the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 2. It was here that God made mankind. The Euphrates River is the scene of the first of humanity, the first sin, the first apostasy, the first murder, the first rebellion against the Word of God. All occurred there. The ancient city of Babylon sprang to life along the banks of this river. Babylon was the birthplace of false religion, of demon worship, of idolatry, and many of the false religions practiced in our world today can be traced back their origins to all the way back to Babylon. It was the home of Nimrod in Genesis chapter 10, verse 8 through 10. He was the father of all kind of vile, ungodly worship practices, some of which still exist today. This is where the world is looking today. This is what's going, this is the Middle East area. This is where all the upheaval is. You know why all the upheaval is over there? Because that's where demonic activity is more prevalent, I believe with all my heart, than anywhere else in the world. Yes, we got them in America, but can you imagine what's going on in the Middle East right now? Verse 15, a plan is mentioned. There's a place mentioned. There's a plan mentioned. These angels have been kept bound until a specific period of time. The Bible says it was a time of a day, an hour, almost down to the minute that God was going to unleash these. The words right there, prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, tells us that God has a plan. Sometimes it might look like that God's not in control, Dale, but I'm telling you right now on the authority of God's word, God is always in control. It might look like the devil's on a rampage, but God's got him on a leash, amen. It might look like demons are just running out rampant, but God's got it all. God's got his big hand down on them, and there ain't nothing gonna happen on this earth unless God allows it to happen on this earth. You understand that. And the thing about it is, not only does he have a plan, he's got a plan for you. He's got a plan for each and every one of us in this building. God knows what he's doing. Also, there's a place mentioned, there's a plan mentioned, but there's a purpose mentioned. Their purpose is to kill one-third of all mankind that's left alive. Wow. Revelation chapter 6, verse 8 says that 25% of the earth's population is killed there. Revelation 8, verse 11 says that many die from drinking poisonous water. And so if the population of the earth is about 6 billion when the tribulation begins, it will be cut in half by the time the sixth trumpet is carried out, and another one-third of humanity is going to be slaughtered. In a short span of time, 50% of all mankind will die. In the U.S., that's going to average out to about 150 million people are going to be dead. Imagine in a space of about just a few years that 50% of the people on earth died. According to Revelation chapter 9, verse 5 through 6, the death's going to take about a five-month holiday, and then it's going to come back strong right here. When a third of the people, some don't believe that this is going to happen. Some don't believe, people in Noah's day didn't believe it was going to rain either. And guess what? I was talking to somebody just the other day, Brother Skip, Brother Mark, that came last week with Preacher Todd. He said that he run a big machine. He told Benji that that machine would take about 20 yards, didn't he say, Benji, of dirt at one time. He said up in those mountains, he said he was digging one day, and right where he was digging, he saw something. He got out and looked at it, and there were seashells in the mountains. He said, and some of them people that he worked with couldn't believe. He said, how in the world did that get here? He said, duh, the great flood. I'm telling you right now, it's real. And I'm telling you right now, God's got a plan. And I'm telling you right now, if it's in this book, it's going to happen, amen. Angels have power. Fallen angels have power. We know that from studying the book of Daniel, when Daniel prayed, and the Bible says that the God of this earth hindered his prayer for 21 days. So when we read this, we understand that these fallen angels, going to be called, these four angels that's going to be called out of the river Euphrates have power. Understand something. Satan's got power. It's going to happen. You know, we can't see it, but we know the struggle's real. We know that from Ephesians chapter 6, we know that the Bible says there's principalities. We work against these things, and understand something. These four demons are going to be released, and these four demons are going to be in control of a mighty army. So there's going to be a time of demonic activity. There's going to be a time of destructive activity. Look at verse 16 through verse 19. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and of jetson and brimstone. And the head of the horses were as the heads of lions. And out of their mouth issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three were the third part of the men killed, by fire, by smoke, by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouths and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents. And they had heads, and with them they do hurt. Now I want you to see something. These four demons are going to be in control of a massive army. Now, the Bible says that this army is going to be 200,000,000. That is 200 million. Okay? Now, some scholars believe, some people believe that this is going to be a demonic army. Some people believe that it's going to be a human army that is controlled or run by demonic activity. Either way, it's going to be bad. Amen. I'm just telling you. Somebody said, well, there ain't no way in the world that you can have an army of 200 million. Let me go ahead and tell you something right now. Right now. Well, let me back up a minute. In the year 2000, China had almost 400 million available men between the ages of 15 and 49. In other words, China could start an army right now with over 200 million men. Somebody said if an army that size will be 1 mile wide and 87 miles long. And they're going to be unleashed on this earth. Now let's look at the symbolism of this army. Is it human or demonic? As I already said, the description sounds like it's from hell either way you look at it. Okay? These men have breastplates of fire, jackson and brimstone or sulfur. These are the colors red, blue, and yellow. They're all the colors of fire. Amen? These are the colors associated with torments of hell itself. Their horses breathe fire, smoke, and brimstone. Again, these bring to mind the pictures of hell and torment. Hell is a place where smoke and fire and brimstone. These soldiers come with the color of hell. They come with the smell of hell. They come with the weapons of hell and all the energy of hell. It is an army that is controlled by demonic activity. You got to understand something when we read this now. And I've said this before, and I want to reiterate this. When we read this, you gotta read it in context. You gotta understand this was a man over 2,000 years ago on an island by himself writing down, Adam, what he saw in a vision. Now let me ask you a question, I'm not trying to put thoughts in our heads, but can you imagine taking John off the Isle of Patmos 2,000 years ago and setting him in the middle of a battlefield right now that was going on in Iraq just a few years ago? And he sees Apache helicopters. And he sees tanks that can run 50 and 60 miles an hour that can spin and shoot either way. He sees these Apache helicopters that can fly one way, shoot another way. How do you think he would describe that? Now, I've listened to several scholars on this, and a lot of people, they say it's a demonic army. They say it's a human army. Either way, it's going to be bad. Either way, it's going to be bad. John was just writing what he saw. He said they have faces like lions. This may indicate that the horses or whatever vehicles they were riding in are fierce looking. They said that the men were killed by smoke and fire and brimstone that issued out of the mouths of these beasts. This could be a description of tanks or rockets or machine guns or et cetera. These beasts are said to have power in their heads and in their tails to do damage. This could bring to mind helicopters, machine guns, warheads, missiles. We don't know. We don't know. Or it could just be demonic activity or a demonic army. But a third of the population is going to be killed by this army. I thought about it as I was studying this today. If you'd have told me in 1980 we'd have some of the stuff we're doing right now, I'd have told you was crazy. Amen. I said this the other day in our Bible Institute. Brother Robert's sitting here, and Brother Barry, and some of these that's a good bit older than me. If you'd have told them back in the 60s that we'd be doing some of the stuff we're doing right now, they'd have laughed at you. So you see how all this could take place. I remember preachers. I remember Brother Robert sitting in church and preachers preaching on the end time. Mike, and you probably remember this too. Preachers preaching on the end. Brother Ralph, I know you remember. Preachers preaching on Revelation, the end time. And you sitting there thinking, how in the world can that be? Some of us remember when we only had three stations on our TV. Now, I know that young crowd sitting right back there ain't got a clue what we're talking about. I told somebody, you know, you want to mess up a child now? Put rabbit ears on the TV and tell them to go fix it. Yeah. But when I was 13, 14 years old, getting old enough to really listen to the preacher, and the preacher stands up and reads this in Revelation about how that their dead body, that the two witnesses would be killed, and their dead bodies would lay on the street, and the whole world, Brother Tony, would witness that. Ain't no way that could happen. And now we can see what's going on in the Middle East while it happens. Amen? Satellites. So don't tell me that this book ain't real. This book's real, and it's going to happen exactly like the Bible says it's going to happen. Amen? It's a time of demonic activity, a time of destructive activity. Now listen to this. This blows my mind right here, what I'm getting ready to tell you. It's a time of depraved activity. Look at verse 20 and 21. These two verses amaze me. Before I started preaching, these verses amazed me when I would read them. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands. All this going on, and they still won't repent. That they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murderers, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor their theft. That blows my mind. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, when my daddy would come down and whip that belt out, I repented immediately. Yeah. Amen. I'm just being honest with you. When my daddy pulled that belt out, I repented. I was never going to do it again. I was sorry I ever did it to start with. That's how it was when I got saved. Can you imagine seeing all this going on? An army of 200 million demon-possessed people killing people, and you won't repent. Wow. The Bible talks about the people having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That's where we're at as far as the scripture goes. Now, let's look at, let's just, 50% of the people's died. The church is gone. Man is depraved in his worship. After all they see, they still worship Satan. Do you see that? After all they see, they still worship Satan. Let me tell you, everybody worships something. You're either worshiping the one true and living God, or you're worshiping some of these other little false fallen gods, these Buddha and Muhammad and all that. Even the atheists worship something. They worship self. Amen. Amen? So everybody, human beings, have a need to worship. This verse tells us that the religion in the tribulation period will be marked by worship of demons and worship of material things. Today, the worship of the occult is rampant. Amen? Worship of the occult today is rampant. I remember when I was on the highway patrol in Conway, there was a place, and I'm not going to get too far into it, but there was a place out in the country where they would go out and have little seances. They had little things set up around it. And I had a lady just a few years ago call me and my wife. She said, "I found something on my farm. Can y'all come help me?" Okay, she took us through the woods. It took us about 15 minutes to get there. We got there. Somebody had made a circle with rocks out there in the woods, and they kind of had a satanic star in it. And she said, "What do I need to do?" I just started kicking rocks. What, you're not scared? I'm not scared of the devil, no. I'm just telling you right now, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, amen. You understand something. If you got Jesus on the inside, Satan cannot mess with you. But right now, the worship of the occult is rampant. You see it in... they're remaking all these old movies. They're remaking all these old movies about the occult. They're remaking all these old movies about the Ouija boards and all that kind of stuff. Let me tell you something, folks. Christians ain't got no business watching that. Amen. Amen? We ain't got no business watching that. And if you dabbling in that right now, I'm just telling you right now, you're playing with fire. Amen. Don't get into that kind of mess. Man will also give worship to gods of their own creation. He talks about worships of idol and silver and brass and stone, which can't hear or can't walk or can't see. People worship their car. People worship their job. Some people even worship their family. Anything you put before God is your God. Anything you put before God is your God. The only one that can hear us, the only one that can see us, the only one that can walk with us is Jesus, amen? Verse 21 talks about man being depraved in his works. It looks like there's going to be a significant increase in the wickedness of that day. Number one, it talks about murders, killing over nothing, like we have today. Somebody was asking, we were talking about this the other day with somebody. I said, you know why people can go out and just shoot people now and it not bother them? Because they've got it on video games. They play video games that look more real. All the movies we watch now, look, I mean, when you see it, it looks real. We get callous to that. And if we're not careful, people that get callous to that can go out and commit those things and not even bother them. Because most people ain't churched. Now, I'm not telling you video games is wrong. That's not what I'm saying. Let me tell you, if you in church and that's between you and the Lord. I ain't preaching on that. But I'm telling you right now, most people ain't churched, and they play those things, and they have no problem pulling a trigger or stabbing somebody. Murders. How about abortion? Do y'all realize there have been more babies killed by abortions than people killed in the concentration camps of Nazi Germany? More babies killed. The tribulation period is going to be marked by an increase in murder. Number two, it talks about sorceries. The word sorcery is where we get the word pharmakia, where we get the word pharmacy from. I've never seen a day in my life. It's amazing to me. People that strung out on prescription drugs. I mean, just because you can get a prescription for it don't mean you got to take it. Amen. Amen? Anything that messes with your mind ain't helping you. You got to understand, in the tribulation period, there going to be things going on that you didn't believe would be going on. The number one thing in the tribulation period is satanic worship. There's going to be a rise in drug abuse. And the thing about it is, when we influence ourselves with drugs, we open up ourselves to demonic activity. We're seeing it take place right now. Back in the 60s and 70s, it was marijuana. In the 80s and 90s, it moved from marijuana to cocaine and crack, and now we're seeing meth. Things people just, I mean, have any of y'all seen the stuff that's going on in Philadelphia? There's something going, they taking stuff in Philadelphia, they just stand there like zombies. They can't even move. And just think, when the church is gone, it's going to be more rampant than it ever has. Then it goes into fornication. Let me just say this. When last time we went to Indiana, we stopped at the rest area in Ohio. Now, a rest area in Ohio, they got Narcan on the walls in the rest area. Wow. That's how bad it's getting. Then it goes on to talk about fornication. This word is translated into Greek word, porneia, which where we get our word, pornography. In other words, when the church is gone, every kind of sexual perversion will be rampant. Our society now is saturated with sex. Society has taken something that was God-made and God-ordained, that was beautiful and when it's done right, and perverted it to what we have today. Let me go ahead and tell you something. I know I'm old-fashioned. I know I'm biblical. I know people get on me all the time. I know I'm old-fashioned. But I said this before, and I'm going to say this again. Safe sex is sex inside the marriage covenant by one man and one woman. Anything outside the marriage covenant is sin, and you're in danger of hellfire. Period. You can try to explain it away all you want to. You can try to make it sound as good as you want to. But if you ain't got a marriage license, you ain't got no business touching nobody else. Amen. You can like it or not. I don't care. I'm still in the Bible. Amen. I had some folks kind of tilt their head down. Preacher Todd said he's looking at me like a calf looking at a new gate. I ain't preaching nothing new. This is still the Bible, amen? It's still the Bible. Then it goes on to talk about thefts. Personal rights and property of others have no meaning at all. We see this right now. Let me tell you something. We was talking about this the other day. When you can come to God's house and steal stuff from God's house, you a special kind of stupid. Amen. I mean, we've had them cut the catalytic converters off our vans and our bus. We had them go right behind our church and steal our enclosed trailer, steal our grill. Let me tell you something. I'd hate to know that I stole from God's house. Even when I was lost, Wes, even when I was lost and in the world, I wouldn't have been so stupid to do that. But when the church is gone, people don't care. And that's where we're headed. I can't imagine society getting any more worse than it is now. But it will. I can't imagine what it's going to be like when the church is raptured out. It's going to be bad. You don't want to be here. You don't want to be here. I want you to bow your heads with me. We ain't got to have a song. I mean, I'm hoping and praying that everybody here tonight is saved, and that maybe.